So first of all, I'd like to introduce a little bit of how this research started, a little bit of a background. This started with my architectural thesis, and after that, I started investigating a research group in Mexico City. So that's a little bit of the background to introduce our inquiries towards sustainable cities with a specific case of Mexico. So in today's commercial climate, the term sustainability has reached a certain status quo that nurtures the insistence of an impending energy crisis and the need to revert this. The change of paradigm is clearly there, but sustainable categories as labels for buildings are just not enough. They consecrate an illusion and they elude responsibility. So when we talk about sustainable development, what are we really talking about? We have seen several approaches over the past two days. But when we talk about urbanism, about the urban tissue and the architectural dimension, is it enough? The question here is how to present when we have this type of tissue, like the one in the picture, how to get to the image of what we're talking about, the language and sustainability. And I'd like to develop that this inquiry is not bound to any particular place, but rather to a process that happens in movement. I'd like to make clear that the images I'm putting up here are not an example of what I'm saying is a good or bad for the image of sustainability or not. It's just I'd like to get through the process by which they are conceived. So the information of flows, immigrant movements, product flows, generation of trips, they are all constructed in an intrinsic social structure and the essence of an identity. We're constantly building new relationships between each one of these, and the point where they all meet is what I want to really make clear in the components of this presentation, is that we're talking about urban communities under a social approach, under a network methodology, for the analysis of mobility, aiming for democratic sustainable models, with the hints of technology, technology seen as the alternative energy resources and dynamic models. So I'd like to get a bit into terminology. I'd like to take the term of Joachim Mitchell, that's transology. He interprets this as the interrelationships of mobility and the environment, patterns of relations between vehicles and the fundamental settings. The social network approach helps us to understand the interaction of these phenomena. It should be primarily conceived and investigated through the properties of relations between users and the units of interaction, instead of the properties of the units themselves. Aim to the design and the reassemblage of the urban tissue and the landscape. So let's take a look at some examples. This is Carlo Ratti. There are some examples of what we have seen that technology helps us in new forms of sensing the city, new forms of reading the urban tissue. This is Rome. This was during the final World Cup of football. And this is just a way that tells us how telecommunications are working out, how cell phones are working. We can track the whole match of the football World Cup through the cell phone signals. And this is just a way of an example that we can sense the city in different kinds of ways, especially through their social spaces and the notion of the public. This is the second example of tracking. This happened in the States, in Seattle. This is the tracking of waste disposal. So people actually cooperated for this proposal. They tracked with some electronic chips for what they threw out in the garbage, and this is what happened, the tracking after 3 days, after a week, 3 weeks, and a month. So the materialization of these concepts means the broadening of our notions of the impacts of urbanization. Creating awareness by the means of making evidence of the process and the networks, by acquiring knowledge of the city, how the city works, and how our own acts affect the systems and networks, they can highlight the environment, the irresponsible consumption, and help people to understand how they contribute to environmental problems. This may actually help to promote reactions to foster regaining the direct relationships with nature and with social economic benefits. So what if we could trace these cultural processes, if we can produce an image out of this to pinpoint the level of acquisition of sustainable behaviors in a certain community? This would help us to enforce the term or induce them. And one way to conceptualize the topological and spatial recognition that resonates well into the globalization discourse. So how to get from the global scale to the pedestrian one? In a sense, I propose the social connectors to allow the assemblage of the urban tissue to be in fact all public spaces. Spaces for mobility, spaces for transition, leisure and encounter. Public spaces shall be the detonators within the proposal. They can be the catalyzers of change. The object or the space in itself, it doesn't have weight in terms of presence. It leaves its essence and reason of being to the relationships and the associations that it can manage to occur within, its outside, towards the space, or from this space outwards. Nevertheless, culture and identities are in constant configuration. This leads to uncertainties in the mapping of the networks. So the approach on the network theory allows us to narrow it down and define our variables and scales. The smallest unit of analysis will be the individual in terms of an actor. This approach allows us to track connections to pinpoint the relationships under the logic of living together. When applied to spaces, this is understood as the way that a space achieves, reinforces, expresses, maintains, or reduces social conducts. This process suggests that culture is a process in which objects, being human or not human, and ideas interact on the same level. So we're really interested in what happens from A to B, not the form of the network itself, but how it's conceived from point A to point B and the relationships that they hold together, if they're strong enough to be held together or to fall apart. For instance, let's take the example of Mexico City and define then the private transport from the public transport and its spaces as intermediaries and their users as mediators. We can hold then that the context of the private means and reflects or symbolizes the upper classes, and the public the lower classes. In such a view, many other differences can also highlight the huge gap between class distinctions, but when we take them as intermediaries under this approach, spaces become to suddenly appear relevant as constructors of an ideological class distinction. So the way each group uses their spaces, the way they relate to them, the image that they share of a certain place, given the experience they share of it. So it starts revealing a lot in relationships about how users of the public and the private use mobility. So it starts giving us very important information in terms of design for the dwelling and the mobility, and it adds the complexity of the model and the city to enhance it as they're subjected to this proposal. Cities with poor public transport infrastructure and lacking in articulated systems are ones that provide dehumanizing experiences in the trips for their users. They have high energy consumption, high polluting indicators, and high rates of accidents. So I won't go much further into the methodology. I just want to say that the attempt to use this network approach is to aim for responsible users, to aim for active and hopefully participatory citizens for more sustainable and democratic societies. In terms of mobility, this has become one of the most important keywords in dominant discourses on globalization, techno-economic change, and the information of society. The idea of mobile people has been supported by spatial mobilization of capital, of goods, and knowledge, pervading deeply into politics, economics, and culture. This network forms part of the urban landscape, and as a result, the need for mobility over a specific territory, a responsible relationship between the characteristics of a certain place, creating a complex and sometimes chaotic plot. The discourse surrounding mobility is characterized by the dream of the easy accessibility and the lure of deterritorialization of the space and the breakdown of the public, offered by the breaking of the boundaries by technology. Mobility has been facilitated as a development generally perceived as progress in an economic and technological sense. But what is often neglected in this process is what it offers us is the potentialities in the cultural renewal of spaces. Opened up by these technologies, there is a range of possibilities for a change in the way that we relate with public spaces. So the construction of the collective imagery of sustainability requires a live space, requires a life and time integration. But if that relationship is determined by the speed of vehicles, rather than by the speed of a pedestrian, then we are reduced to the status of a mere commuter. Isolated and individual proposals serve very little to the big picture and to the long-term perspective. A coherent and integrated project at national, regional, and international level must take place. Governments and policies that intend to provide public transport to equitable access and clean energy sources will require high amounts of investment and develop technology, especially for countries and cities like Mexico City. But in the political spectrum, these are the keys for sustainable development, technologies that propose the collective and that propose a shift. Primarily, to creating the common imagery, the needs and consensus of it addressed to a comprehensive climate and energy framework. This, I'd like to make an emphasis, because in this kind of society, ecological-oriented developments must not be seen as an impediment for industrial competitiveness, but as a job-generating source and a benefit for assets in terms of health, security, and social equity. Low-energy policies allow wider choices of lifestyles and cultures, whereas high-energy consumption leads to degraded relationships. A desirable model would be one that is founded on people's knowledge about ecological limits and the use of minimum energy per capita. Setting limits on power use and energy consumption is a key factor to generate more balanced levels in equity and to generate a more self-sufficient economy by less power generation demand on oil dependence. The widespread belief that clean and abundant energy is a panacea of social ills is due to a fallacy according to which equity and energy consumption can be indefinitely correlated. The introduction to appropriate modern technology depends on the effective recognition of a threshold in energy consumption. The level of technology applied to an energy strategy is independent from the effectiveness of it. Further energy inputs create inequality and efficiency and a lot of personal frustration when one is a citizen in some of these cities where they continue to implement solutions for the infrastructure of the urban realm as, for example, more automobile infrastructure generates more car usage, leading to further traffic congestions and pollutions, and it's a never-ending cycle. So green technologies, they are applied to the urban environments that go from green facades, green roofs, permeable pavements, to an extended use of photovoltaic cells, the incentive of urban farms, the encouragement of alternative mobility and transportation, among many others. These measures help to lower the levels of CO2 in high-dense areas, manage rainwater and air quality improvements. Social gardens are a good example of starting points for a redesign of the public. Urban lifestyles based upon food production. Environmental corridors are another interesting example of effective sustainable developments of transit-oriented developments. Rachel Armstrong, from whom I took this picture of dynamic models, she brings architecture and science together in what she names the proto-cell architecture. Her idea is to create a technology that helps us connect with the environment so that our buildings have a positive impact rather than the current negative impact they have. She works on developing dynamic materials for construction that have artificial metabolisms. In other words, they can repair themselves. So we're talking about a new generation of materials that can shed new skins, adapting themselves to their environments. Another example is the development of how cement. How cement is created by absorbing CO2 instead of producing it. These processes are described as biomineralization. Another attempt of biomimicry is a very interesting approach as well. It envisions human settlements and the agricultural systems modeled by relationships found in nature. This is the concept of permaculture. And I believe subsequently it feeds upon innovative and creative new public spaces that can be ideal to encourage all these new values of permaculture. As an imagery, it can be portrayed as places where healthy societies participate, they interact, and they help each other by becoming at the same time more self-reliant through the design of sustainable gardens and farms. To sum up, we have seen how people tend to define themselves in terms of their surrounding spaces and of others. Buildings and public spaces, in essence, are neutral. They become alive in terms of the relationships they manage to establish with their environment, the meaning that people may attribute to them, and the permeability between them. This can be resumed as the dialogue spaces manage to build, with their context, with their environment, and with their users. The idea of creating sustainability in the public imagination should begin from the perception of society's feeling towards itself. In conclusion, to understand cycles, fluxes, networks, and appropriation, technological potentialities in energy consumption, animation of public spaces, they're all speculations of the way we can achieve sustainable design integration. It sets the stage for critical questioning and determines the possible detonators of starting points. The main focus of these detonators is to conceive a way to visualize sustainability in a locally responsive way, as well as in a globally connected fashion. This setting implies that the integration of art, architecture to create awareness is essential to promote interaction and participation to renew a different sensitivity. Furthermore, it suggests that the use of political incentives and technology to shift our economies from oil-dependent societies and the revalorization of time and speed. It is a call for a conception of sustainable models that go hand in hand with technology in a more responsive way to legitimate participation and social engagement. Networks, plots, and grids are seen under these perspectives, trigger phenomena that are set to design for social conduct, so conditioning of spaces, they set limit for spaces, and they form part of the characteristic urban landscape and create a common imagery intrinsic into lifestyles. As a result, the desirable change in everyday life must come from alterations in those systems of flux. In this way, new spheres of the public can be created, generating new scapes, new relationships with our environments and with our cities.